Hello and welcome back to another exciting episode of Anime Tour Bus. It's me, your non-expert Eric. And who's that sitting next to me? Well, that's you, listener. Oh, you brought your Switch? What you playing? You playing, it's the Zelda game, Breath of the Wild. Yeah, you know, they have like a really fun cooking mechanic on there that's just like, you know, you like throw a bunch of things into a pot. And honestly, it taught me how to cook better. You just boil everything together and make some stews and stuff. But if you put the wrong things together, guess what happens? You get like a thing, it like pixelate blurs it out and gives you only like a quarter of a heart for it or something. It's like nothing at all. And they're like, you did a bad job. Well, I mean, on that topic, we've had a few episodes simmering in the oven, haven't we, Metzger? She's at the front of the bus. She's our expert. Metzger, we've been simmering on a few.
Yeah, they've been slow cooking for weeks. Are they slow cooking, or maybe they like hanging out in the meat shed drying for the winter?
I mean, I personally make a mad crock pot lasagna, so I like to imagine that I've just got it on the low setting, keeping the lasagna warm as I might
for
come back for seconds.
Weeks?
Yeah, Metzger.
Weeks.
Yeah, that's actually a whole thing that they would have travelers stew in like taverns and stuff like that, and that they would just keep it at boiling and simmering at like a hot temp, and then just throw whatever they could into it, and like apparently that like, you know, well kept traveler stew that just gives days and days and days of cooking. Apparently, it's pretty good. The meat really tenderizes.
Yeah, the meat, not lasagna noodles and ricotta cheese.
Well, Metzger, I'm working off of a theory, so we'll see how it goes.
See, I like the drying rack method more, to where we are making perfectly preserved, cured hams for the listener, just in time for the fall festivities.
Listener, as you
come get your hams.
Listener, as you're grabbing your slices of hams, make yourself a ham sammy. You could put some like Dijon mustard on top. We got some sesame seeds. We can make like a nice glaze. Listener, as you're doing that, make it a nice glaze or maybe like a dipping sauce. Why don't we just take a step back and look at, we've been examining two different animes. We've examined Chainsaw Man, and we've been examining the second season, the first season, part two, of Spy X Family. And we got a little delayed on episodes. I was traveling, things were happening. Listener, it's been chaotic. Metzger, would you like to start?
To Spy X Family.
We have a feast of anime, and we're starting with Spy X Family.
The entire feast is just hams.
Well, we did. We have some Dijon mustard.
Eric brought one thing to the party, and it was Dijon mustard for all these hams.
They're always like, somebody bring plates, somebody bring chips. I brought a condiment. Metzger, so when last we left off, we left on a cliffhanger, listener. We left with Dog midair attacking Twilight, him aligning his gun at the dog mid-flight. Metzger, what happened?
Twilight pulls a fast one on us and shoots the bomb pouch off of the dog and throws it in the river,
thus killing a wild amount of fish.
Yeah, I guess that's one way to look at it. There are a lot of dead fish now.
Sacrifices many fish lives for a single dog.
And, you know, a city block.
Yeah, but like the wildlife, Metzger. Alright, so...
the wildlife of the stream in this city.
Yeah. There's like some mussels in there, and maybe like catfish. The dog, no dogs were harmed in the making of this anime.
And Yorick captures the leader of the terrorists. And Anya saved Twilight. And they get a new dog.
There's a new dog!
Is this the episode where they struggle to name him?
Yes, this is the part two of the episode.
Okay, okay. They settle on Bond.
And that's after a variety of different exploration ideas of, like, what he could possibly be. And, Mesker, where does Bond come from?
Bondman!
Bondman! The big, floofy, white dog is named Bond. And we play with our family and the dog, and there's, like, ooh, the family's gonna be, like, stuffed animals and stuff like that, and we're on an adventure, and wow, Twilight's uncomfy, because spies aren't supposed to be seen this way, but he's being wild in the streets and such. And we get some cute dog moments. Metzger, we kind of transition from we get a new dog, where we kind of approach this, like, everyone's kind of finding their stride. You know, Anya's trying to make her way at school, get to second son. Yor is working on her own projects. And, I mean, we get a bit more insight into Twilight and his spy times.
Yeah, definitely. I really enjoy that Yor really takes responsibility for Twilight being sick after eating her breakfast, which was not something that even happened.
Yup.
But she takes, like, it at face value. I want to remind you that she's an expert assassin.
And she says, oh no, if I don't get better at this, he's going to divorce me.
And then they're going to know that I'm an assassin.
Step one, divorce. Step two, uh-oh, I'm a single woman and also assassin.
Yeah, I mean, how else could that possibly work?
So, she decides, hey, I know what I'm going to do. I am going to avoid divorce.
By asking that bitchy coworker of mine to help me learn how to cook.
Doesn't she suck?
That was the one that tried to embarrass her in one of the early episodes in front of Twilight.
And so she says, hey, I need help. Can someone help me cookie? And the other girls are like, I know how to open cans. I know how to microwave.
I knew you would remember. One of them's like, well, my servant, the household help.
Yeah, exactly.
Does all of the cooking. And then one goes, I can open cans!
That one hit me good. The one that's very confident about their can abilities.
I wanted to help. I opened all the cans for you.
So then that person, that woman's husband or boyfriend, whatever.
Boyfriend.
Says, hey, you know who's a good cook? Spins her around, gestures to her wildly. So Yor manages to convince. Now, this is all like later in the episode. We just see Yor coming home late, cuts on her hands. She's never had cuts on her hands. She's too good of an assassin. How would she get cuts on her hand? Maybe she's doing some special training. Maybe, like, the battles are getting tough. Who knows what's happening? All that. And even Twilight's starting to get suspicious. And then it's just her cooking. We discover that her little brother, Yuri, is apparently was malnourished throughout his entire childhood. Maybe that's why he's all fucked up.
Is immortal.
Might be. Yeah, this kid's experienced some pretty rough food. Speaking of rough food, and speaking of Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, they do the exact same trick where it's just like, this food, you shouldn't look at it. It's pixelated.
It's this so bad. It's gonna be
genitals. We've pixelated it out.
It's cursed and everyone should feel shame.
It's got, like, when they show it pixelated, there's even still, like, bits of, like, purple cursed energy coming from it. Which I thought was a good ad.
Avert your eyes.
And so there's this ongoing gag of people just like collapsed on the floor dying from eating her food.
Except for Yuri, who's
eats and vomits.
Is eating, he's purging it before it can fully take hold of his system. He's worked out a wonderful kind of binge purge cycle and has got all of it down at once.
And so they're like, hey, is there anything that we can kind of tap into in there, like a meal that really hit the spot back in the day? And she says, yeah, I had like this real nice stew and it had like all these things to it and all that. And the woman's like, I got you, boo boo.
Yeah, you're Southern, right? Add sour cream.
And she makes a nice stew, and then she comes home very confident and then announces, I am going to cook. Everyone's surprise and mild despair. In which case, she makes a nice meal for them. And they're like, this is amazing. And she discovers that just their joy is really all she... I mean, it was kind of a surprise bonus. She was at first worried, oh no, somebody's going to find out I'm an assassin. But like, their happiness made me feel happy.
And bonded with this family. Side plot, Scruffy falls in love and wants Lloyd's help.
I loved this side plot. I love this because he practices so many. And Twilight's like, all you have to do is rehearse all these iterations of potential conversations that could happen. I've defined everything out for you as possible. And you just have to memorize 10,000 bits of information. And he's like, that's impossible.
Okay, but do you think Twilight knew that the answer was just going to be like, no thanks from the beginning?
No, he wouldn't have put in all that hard work time if he
was just like, not a chance.
He made a chart he's real proud of. In fact, in the upper left-hand corner of the chart, circled was just the word chart with an exclamation mark.
I did it.
Chart! And so he was very proud of his chart, and he worked very hard on it, and it took him a long time. And then he was like, this should be easy to memorize, the same as I memorize penguin names. And the guy's like, that's impossible.
I did forget about the penguin names.
It was same for me. And so he's like, no, I can't do that. Can I practice with you? And then Twilight's like, sure, let me get out my perfect rendition of this girl.
Put on a disguise anyways.
And so they practice and practice talking and all that. And hey, Metzger, how does it go?
He gets there and he immediately flubs it. And she just turns him down.
And turns him down apparently pretty hard.
I think getting turned down in any way is going to be a hard way. I think in that answer, like in that moment, any answer other than, yes, I would love to go on a date. You look like you've been practicing for this.
I think that's pretty fair. I'm like, I've been rejected so many times. It's old hat for me. I bounce back. I bounce back. I'm like one of those weird water balloons that contorts around your face and doesn't pop. I'm like perfectly flexible on this. Like, all right, cool, thanks.
I'll see myself out.
Smoke screen.
Smoke screen.
So
anytime, then, anytime Eric gets rejected, he just throws sand in your eyes and shouts and then walks away.
Oh man. That's why every girl that I've ever dated wears glasses. They were the only ones not blinded by the pocket sand.
Eric says, this is not a conscious thing that I do. Here, take these glasses. Take these safety goggles. Because if you turn me down, it will be a compulsion.
Yeah.
I'm not in control of myself.
This isn't me. I want you to know that. I'm not like, this isn't, you know, malicious. No perceived malintent. But I might throw pocket sand at you. Now, why do I keep refilling the pocket sand? Part of the morning routine.
Some habits are too hard to break.
Brush my teeth while refilling the pocket sand. One hand does the one, then the other. The Twilight drinks with him.
Buys him booze, which is probably like a very enabler sort of thing to do and not the best, but like Twilight feels for Scruffy. Next episode. Anya fucks up the dog situation with Diamond, Damien.
Second son.
So they get paired together on a group arts and crafts project. And she wants to help him so he'll like her. And through a cruel twist of fate, she just keeps fucking it up for him, but he still gets first prize.
Yeah, and it's like, I was surprised by the first prize thing. That's fine. But, like, she keeps having these, like, elegant moments with him and all that, and keeps like doing small things that like you can tell are like gradually winning his heart and stuff, like, and she's seeing into him because of course she can read his mind and seeing like, oh, he's doing this because his dad doesn't love him.
I really enjoy all of her mental monologues where she's impersonating him.
Oh, hilarious.
Those are
and
really
impersonating
good.
His dad.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you're so amazing. Bring your parents over right now.
And she always looks like, hey. Like that shit-eating grin of like, I have won. I love when she thinks so highly of herself and then immediately just gets like, oh, this dog plan's going to work great. When he sees how cute and fluffy my dog is, it's going to work great. And then immediately fails. Like, she had such confidence in it. And the only thing that ends up happening is that another girl gets, like, one of those kid crushes on her
and
dad.
He's like, who is this really hot man and is he single? And she's like, Papa is married to Mama.
She's like, that's my dad, you shit.
And then Becky's just like, you're just too immature. You wouldn't understand.
So yeah. She ends up, like, helping him. Now, I'm over here wondering if, like, there was some finagling of... See that was what I initially thought when we did kind of a breakaway session where we're talking about the handler and Twilight and all that. I thought maybe there was, like, a moment where, like, maybe Anya and Damien won because of, like, backhanded sly work. Like, some underhanded spy stuff.
I didn't like the side plot for this episode. Like, I love the handler. Maybe not liking her as much. I mean, she's a boss bitch, right?
She has boss bitch energy.
Who doesn't like a boss bitch lady? She's obviously been through some shit, seen some stuff. Her day-to-day life, not a big deal to me. I want to see more of Anya at school.
Absolutely, she's
that's
got
what
plans.
I'm here for.
She's
I'm
working
just...
forward.
I do. We're not going to cover it, but I do really like the next episode. Which, I mean, we'll cover it next week. But I do really, really like the next episode, and I'm sad that you didn't get to see it yet.
It wouldn't load for me. But what did load was my favorite part of the your episode that we didn't discuss yet. Which was when she says, oh, you love that food. I made something special. Like, and you're like, this, okay, well, maybe. And then immediately the cutaway before I was even ready for it was them laying on the ground dying. It was a repeat of the same established joke after we'd already had this peaceful, wonderful scene of them eating the stew and loving it. And that's how I feel. Moving on to Chainsaw Man. Metzger, before we move on to Chainsaw Man, why don't we talk about where the listener can interact with us?
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
She passed it right back for the layup.
That's yours.
I know, but I wanted to see if you would do it if I, like, socially coerced you into it, if you could just flow. Our website is meyouandweeboo.wordpress.com. You can interact with us on Twitter on anime_bus and on Instagram at anime tour bus. Hey, Metzger, there's a man who has a chainsaw for a face. What's going on with him?
Oh, Dingy, we left off. Dingy gets his job. Dingy's fallen for his boss. Dingy is, just eating super toast, knocking goals and dreams, just checking them off the list one by one. And he really wants to fondle some titties, right? That's where we left off. His power promises him that we can fondle some her titties if we save this cat.
I don't like the word fondle, though. That's just an Eric thing. Fondle seems weird, right?
I mean, I don't have a problem with it.
Okay. This feels like one of those moist words. Okay. So, yeah, there's a promise. Hey, come help me out. And if you do, I'll let you fondle some titty.
To which Dingy is definitely led astray, as she has double-crossed him, and we get to see the Bat Devil. And the Bat Devil's like, I'm just gonna eat this fucker, but he tastes awful.
And then, I mean, the whole plot for me really was around the key cat. And I mean, we're gonna blur over part of the episodes here, because we get some backstory about Power, that she's just like a fiend, obviously.
Demon, she's just running wild and free and just drinking blood, and then falls in love with this cat, and they're comrades now.
Yeah, we get to see something that I thought was pretty interesting. Her go from like, oh, I just love to drink blood like a demon, to being like, for me, it's about the warmth. And like, I've recently come to really appreciate that. And we're getting that monologue as we're seeing her cuddled up with her kitty cat. And it seems to me like there's some craving for like the feeling of life that humans experience. Yeah. And there's something there, right? Like, there's some bit of depth that you wouldn't have on the surface thought from Power. And, you know, what that means is she's real attached to this kitty cat. So when this dumb shit Dingy comes along, some reckless teen, she's just like, I'll sacrifice you to the Bat God.
Exactly. And that doesn't go super well. And they end up in the middle of the city. The Bat Devil eats Meowie for double-crossing him or whatever, and then also eats Power, and then is like, I'm gonna go eat children and virgins to wash the disgusting blood out of my mouth.
And babies. And maybe a woman that's pregnant.
Yeah. So then, naturally, Dingy just kind of like grabs a hold of him and also makes it to the city, where they have a giant fight. And Dingy refuses to let this go, because his dream to touch titties is like, I mean, it's his dream. At what point do you let your dream go?
And then he's just like, I gotta touch some titties. There's big fight, kills the bat, saves the girl and the cat, and they're laying on the grass. She's completely worn out. And he's like, ha-ha, I'm going to get to touch me some titties, raises a hand in the air, gets a hand chopped off. And then there's this big discussion with a woman that has far too many titties.
She's the leech devil.
And then he gets kind of mad, because she's like, oh, me and the bat was my boyfriend. And
you're kind of cute. I'll let you live. But we also had dreams, and your titty touching dream is stupid.
Yeah, our dream, we want to eat everybody and stuff and make all the humanity, like, you know, die when we eat it. And it's kind of like one of those, she describes it in the way that, like, we're going to move to Germany, and we're going to have, like, a little cottage there. And it's going to be, you know, a little bit outside of the city limits of Berlin and stuff like that. We'll be able to go into the main city and stuff. And, like, we'll have, like, a nice lake and stuff. It's one of those kind of, like, fun, nice, like, aspirational dreams that you both recognize are probably never going to come true, but you hang on to anyways because it gives you something to hope and dream for. And he's just like, I'm gonna touch me a titty. Your dream's no better than my dream. My dream's actually attainable and stuff. I could touch me a titty. All I gotta do is fuck you up.
Because my dreams might be small, but they're still valid.
Yeah. As he has, like, a very tiny chainsaw on his face because he's run out of blood.
He can't fully transform because he's all out of go-go juice.
I need to have me some Danimals. Get my go-go juice.
Aki shows up and saves them. Like, at this point, Denji's just buying time. Aki shows up, big-ass fucking fox devil. And just crushes the leech demon devil.
May I swallow?
Oh, God. I hated that.
That was the line that I said, and I lost my goddamn shit. Yeah, it was pretty weird, honestly, that part, but we get to learn that they make contracts with demons. Demons ultimately want humans.
That wasn't weird for me at all.
The May I Swallow part was
that
weird.
That was not weird to me at all. Like, I assumed that Aki and this giant fucking kitsune had a contract together. Aki wants to convince Denji to get some fucking manners. Meanwhile, once he's nice and rehabbed, Makima pulls a fast one on everyone and moves power in with the two dumbasses as well. Well, I guess Aki's not a dumbass.
Got him!
He probably does feel like the world's biggest loser right now, though.
Oh, absolutely.
I should really enjoy power running off with Denji's toast and him going, "No, my super toast!"
He was so excited about that toast, and she stole it.
Something else I absolutely adore is anytime Denji gets excited about something, and that stupid fucking laugh that he does is priceless.
Can you replicate it for me real quick?
I can't. His stupid, like, when he gets really excited, and he does the...
Oh, yes. Yeah, thank you for replicating it for me. That was quite wonderful.
Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't.
So yeah, we get him and her and him all inside the same apartment. It's chaos.
I was bypassing the... We did get the fondles.
Metzger, we got fondle number 1, 2, and 3 because he had earned 3 fondles. All inside of kind of a dingy... bathroom. I was very proud of that one. And he was kind of let down by it. And there he is, you know, going through his day-to-day, stamping papers and stuff as he was supposed to. And he was just kind of like, I had this dream. It wasn't everything I wanted it to be. And are my dreams going to suck a little bit? And eventually... Boss lady says, like, hey, what's up? And he expresses this to her. And she's like, ah, I see the problem here. And then he gets to grab her titty by the end of it. She was expressing how, like, you really gotta savor it and know the person.
She's like, have you ever had anyone bite your finger? And it's like, no. Why would Denji have anyone do that?
I was over here watching this anime and very, very glad that I was alone in a room by myself, because, like, I used to sometimes watch these during breaks at work, and it would be the most awkward if I were watching anime and, like, somebody came in or something like that, and there I am on my phone, and this anime girl is biting this dude's thumb in a very sexy way, and then just straight on boob grab.
Yeah, and then the promise of sex.
Potential. Cuts him off.
You gotta kill a gun devil.
You gotta kill a gun devil.
Because of course, gun devil is American.
Mesker, how hard is gun devil? Can you give me a little bit of background about him?
But how hard?
How difficult would he be? Like, penis, Mesker!
Well, I was just like, what do you mean by hard? Like, do you mean how powerful? He's apparently very hard to find and hasn't been seen since 9/11.
Yeah, that was very... There was only one building that was hit, but it was very on the nose for 9/11.
Oh, man. Very big terrorist attack. 9/11. Ah. Thanks, Japan. Never forget, my friends.
But, like, that wasn't caused by guns. That's the part that got me.
No, but it did escalate the fear of it. Because remember... Absolutely,
yeah.
Remember that a devil's power is only as great as the fear associated with it.
Mm, yeah.
So... in America, the fear of guns is so high that everyone buys guns to appease their fear of guns.
Counter gun strike, yeah.
Yeah.
You can't get me with your gun if I have gun too.
And if I get you with gun first.
Yeah.
So, like, the sense of gun is a very false sense of security and just continues to create fear for Gun Devil. Gun Devil is actually... Gun Devil moves so fast that he, like, sheds bullets.
The bullets are magnet.
Yeah, they're a piece of Gun Devil, and they want to return to Gun Devil. They want to return.
And that makes sense to me. Perfect sense. No questions for that. So Metzger, here we are. He's like, you know what? Yes, I will have sex with my boss.
And HR is gonna have a field trip with this one.
And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and kill this Gun Devil. And yeah. So there we are, hunting down gun bullets, because that's what we need to find Gun Devil. And it leads us into a building. It's like a hotel kind of situation. And lots of stairs. And there I am on the 8th floor. And Mesker, I'm going to go upstairs real quick. I'll meet you up on the 8th floor.
You mean we're going to go to the 9th floor?
No, I'm actually...
We're on the 8th floor.
I left something back in my car. I'm going to go down real quick to the 8th floor.
Okay, but look out for the weird head-toe-hand hybrid.
Wow, this one can float.
The ghost powers.
Ghost powers.
The ghost devil.
So we get a little bit more of our team crew. We have a guy that's like very, okay. So we have Samurai Boy, and we have his partner, the girl that he's been with for a good period of time. She has, and she has made a deal with a demon, traded her eye so that she could gain access to Ghost Han.
Yeah.
And we have
something terrible.
Which was? Did you just think of something very gross for gross use of Ghost Han?
You know what the stranger is?
It's when you sit on your left hand and then you... Yeah.
Ghost Han.
That's fucked up. And I would be into it. So, and we also learn that there's a timid girl who has mad powers, but also she's very scared all the time. We have a guy that's real committed to the trainer girl. And he's like, you know, no one's going to get a kiss from her except me on the cheek.
Well, he doesn't really even want the kiss. Like,
he just doesn't want it from Dingy.
He just doesn't want Dingy to get tongue.
Yeah. Because that's what she had to escalate to for Dingy to be on board. Because he's hard committed to his boss until...
By the way, Dingy's on the table. Roaming the hallway with an axe doing that... through the fucking hallways.
He's charging forward. He's
like, the goddamn clown.
Let's knock this out. I'm going to get me some kisses by lunchtime.
Nothing says sexy like that laugh.
I know, right? Like, that was creepy. Okay. So, anyways, we get stuck on the 8th floor. What's going on with that?
I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be Gun Devil. I think we're going to find another devil.
But that one's gonna have like a bullet in it or three, and it's gonna make it supercharged.
That's just my guess. It's just that we have like a time space fluctuating devil.
And now we're going on a series of small adventures as we, you know, get a hold of all the bullets that we need to get the Gun Devil. And Gun Devil's gonna be into the season.
I like how just Dingy, like, how come we're not just feeding Dingy
fingers?
Gun Devil bullets? Yeah. Like, why are we not just Itadori this?
I thought that exact same thing, and I thought it would be too much to say.
God damn it, when she opens up this thing full of bullets, I was like, we're gonna fucking force feed Dingy fucking bullets.
I'm gonna need you to eat these bullets from the Gun Devil.
Don't ask questions. I'll bite your finger.
Yeah. I'll give you a little bit of a hickey on your neck.
If Dingy's losing his shit over this. Dude, no.
I think that's a great stopping point.
Yeah. I don't think I'm allowed to go any further. I just. At the same time, a lot of times I'm like, Dingy is disgusting. 9 times out of 10, I'm sitting on the couch going, God damn it, Dingy, dude.
Well, he's teen boy.
He's fucking feral.
Yeah, basically.
He's feral.
But that's
again,
okay.
That laugh.
I mean, I love that laugh. Now that you've performed it for me, I love it.
Every time I hear the fucking laugh, I always love it because there's a dude in a voice booth somewhere doing that noise.
Oh my God, that's wonderful. I hadn't thought about that. Listener, I hope that we make you feral laugh. Listener, I hope at
least
one. I always
think about how talented that voice actor must be. To be, like, just sitting there making those noises.
And listener, we hope that we make those noises for you.
you make those noises, listener.
Besker made one for you. Now you get to do yours at Danimal Jokes or at the outro clip. We hope that those at least make you lose your shit a little bit. But hey, listener, thanks for listening. We'll be back again next time. Hey, you can always stop by Science Snacks, get a little bit of your extra Eric fill, or, you know, listen, we got a back catalog of these animes as we've been progressively learning the anime world. Maybe you should go see some of our different seasons if you're just now jumping in, which would be wild at the end of an episode. But hey, thanks for listening, and until next time.
Bye!
See ya. May I swallow? Think of all the butt worms.